You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network.
PackersTalk.com.
On this episode of Cheesehead Radio,
it's finally final. Rodgers is traded to the Jets.
And the Packers get a good return on their investment.
We talk about the Packers' needs.
And make our official draft predictions.
Four quarters of Packers Talk.
Right here on
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation. We are back after a brief hiatus. It is time for Packers news, and well, there is Packers news, but we're also going to have a little fun and frivolity here on Cheesehead Radio. Now in our 14th season doing this wacky thing we call a podcast. As usual, our illustrious hosts tonight are CD Angeli of Packers Talk, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter. You can find him there trolling every day. Kelly Hodgson of Cheesehead Radio, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter. And little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. Find me at Jersey Al GBP on Twitter. Please, we ask that you support our longtime friends at Ticket King, the official sponsors of Cheesehead Radio and all the Packers Talk podcasts. Ticket King is a long-standing Wisconsin business with offices in Green Bay and Milwaukee. So if you need Bucks, Brewers, concert tickets, or whatever, visit their website today at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com, and please tell them we sent you. That is it for the preliminaries. Let's get this show on the road.
Well, it's been a while since we've done a show because there just really hasn't been a whole lot to talk about in Packerland.
Everything's been on hold, pending something.
But now it's a huge, we got many, many
somethings. we got a lot of somethings.
Somethings, a lot of somethings.
A plethora.
A plethora. So let's kick into this. Welcome to Cheesehead Radio, everyone. And we're just going to kind of review the week. But obviously, the biggest news of the week. And it's great news because apparently, according to our reviews, we are probably some of the biggest Aaron Rodgers haters on the planet.
Rodgers haters.
Yes. So, and I want to publicly say, we here at Cheesehead Radio do not and have never hated Aaron Rodgers, except for Kelly. But
yes. Thanks for throwing me under the bus, guys.
Well, I'm pretty sure that you put that bus right there. But anyway, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, but if you listen for several seasons before that, I did not hate him. I just got fed up with him. But gotcha. It's important to realize the three of us, and this is actually a serious point, we're Packers fans first. Because we've been around the block when the Packers were terrible in the 80s, and we still like them. Yeah, I like, and they like certain players. They come and go, but the Packers are why we're all here.
That was eloquent.
Well, it's true.
She was serious. We can't make fun of her for that.
I am serious.
Actually,
come on. When I was a little kid, I liked the Packers, and I liked Rich Campbell, and I liked Lynn Dickey, and those teams were awful. Hey, that's the first quarterback I remember. And by the way, if you don't follow him on Twitter, that's the first one I remember that played. There's obviously Bart Starr, but he was a coach when I was little.
He didn't really play. Rich Campbell.
So we're literally 50 seconds into
Lynn
the show.
Lynn Dickey was a much better choice.
But I remember, but he's the first one I do recall, though, is what I'm saying.
I get it.
So we're 50 seconds into the show. And Kelly has already taken us off. Like,
okay, anyway. So
Meanwhile, back at the show.
Meanwhile, back at the castle.
Back at the castle? Isn't it back at the ranch?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's meanwhile castle, back apparently. At the ranch.
So we've known for several months now that Aaron Rodgers was no longer going to be a Green Bay Packer. We've spent our time, of course, predicting this on the show and then, of course, processing it a little bit on the show. But it's been a long time because they've not announced the official trade, nor do we know what we're getting in return. And not a lot of news really came out from Woody Johnson or came out from Brian Gutekunst. So in absence of information for 2 months, we've done an exceptional job of making up our own information for about 2 months.
The internet's good at that.
It's a great sport, isn't it?
It sure is. By the time we were done, we were so sick of the trade. We were so angry at all of the things that were happening when nothing was actually happening. So we finally found out we're not getting 7 first-round picks. And we're also not getting just a case of beer. The deal
contrary to what Florio said yesterday. It's like, yes. Oh, the Packers there got really soaked, you know. No, we did not.
That's actually not Florio's voice. But anyway.
No, but it's a Minnesotan accent.
That was Minnesota mom. Yeah, that was a Minnesota mom, right?
Well, he likes the Vikings, so I went with Minnesota mom.
Okay, that's fine. Good with it. CD complained, not me.
Yes.
I thought it was good.
Apparently, I have two co-hosts. Yeah, we got two co-hosts off their medications tonight. My God. So anyway, so the Packers do a double swap in the round this year. The Packers swap their 15th pick and move up 2 spots to the 13th pick. Meanwhile, our 5th rounder gets traded back with the Jets, and now we have a 6th. So that little swap happens. We also get a 2nd-round pick, number 42, right at the front of the 2nd round, which is a nice valuable pick, to go with our 45th pick. And then probably the kicker.
The kicker
is kind of nice.
And this is what probably held up everything, but go ahead.
Oh, absolutely. This was the deal breaker.
The Packers get what they're calling a conditional 2nd-round pick that becomes a 1st-round pick, but only if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps this upcoming season. There's no contingencies on the success of the team. There's no, it only becomes a 1st if we make the playoffs. There's no, you get the draft pick if he comes back and plays a 2nd year. There's no things he has to do, like pass for 3,000 yards or et cetera, et cetera. It's just simply he has to go in and sit under the center and take a snap. And if he takes 65% of those, we get a 1st-rounder, wherever that ends up lying. That's actually, by the time we were done agonizing over it, that actually was a nice surprise, I think.
Yeah, especially the fact that it in no way is it tied to Rodgers playing 2 years for the Jets, you know. And I think that was their contention. Well, what if he leaves after 1 year? And that's why they wanted it to be conditional on other things and maybe get something back. And that was all part of the negotiation. But the fact that we're getting at least a 2nd-round pick, no matter what, and if Rodgers is their quarterback for 65% of the season, which everybody, you know, barring injury, would certainly anticipate that he will be, then we will get a 1st-round pick. Now, it won't be as good a 1st-round pick as the Jets have this year because they will have Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, but still, a 1st-rounder is a 1st-rounder.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the delayed gratification of this trade. Everyone said, oh, they're holding out because Rodgers isn't worth a 1st-round. Well, if he doesn't retire or get a catastrophic injury, he's still worth a 1st-rounder just next year. And I'm okay with that. And before you say, oh, they're going to have a less crummy pick, well, you've got one school of thought saying, oh, they're going to win the whole Super Bowl. Okay, whatever. So we get pick 32. That's not going to happen. But
AFC is tough.
AFC is really tough, so there's a good chance we could still have a very good pick. Aaron Rodgers,
even the AFC East is tough. You know, if you look at Buffalo and Miami, Miami's loaded up this year.
Honestly, somebody was joking about it on Twitter this week, but it was kind of true. It's like, congratulations, Aaron Rodgers, you're the 3rd best quarterback in the AFC
in your division. Well, I don't know about that, but
well, they were obviously joking about it. But
it's funny. I have a Jets fan friend who immediately texted me when all this happened. And then as we're texting back and forth, he says, you know, I bet you they're only going to win 9 games. I said, wow, that's really negative for a Jets fan who just got Aaron Rodgers.
Or typical.
Typical. It's what they're used to, right?
Exactly.
Got it that way.
It's called tempering expectations. So if they don't do great, it's like, we would have been worse. And if they do better, like, hey, Rodgers saved us.
There you go. Both of those explanations work.
So I'm interested, Al, in your assessment of this because...
Of the trade?
Yeah, And maybe not necessarily your assessment, but I guess how, as you're discussing with Jets fans and how they're feeling about it, since you're from the area, there was a lot of people, obviously, the past couple of days, trying to say, oh, this was a shellacking. Oh, these guys got fleeced. Oh, these guys made, and the leg was either the Jets or, you know, or Green Bay.
Depends, right?
Right. And in my experience, the best trade is really one that benefits both teams. I mean, if both teams can come out and say, well, we would have preferred better, but it sure could have been a lot worse. And I kind of look at this deal and, you know, it's not the Russell Wilson deal that maybe we were hoping for, or even just two firsts, but it's reasonable. I guess from a Jets perspective, I guess I like to think they got the quarterback their fan base desperately wants, but they still have a first and second round pick this year too. So, I mean, are the Jets fans seeing this as a win as well?
I'm laughing because I love when you ask me a question and then you talk for 5 minutes saying most of the things that I'm going to say.
Okay.
And then it comes down to a yes or no answer.
Yeah, I agree. You could have just stopped that. I'd like to get your assessment of this trade.
Okay.
And then I could have.
That would be too easy.
So anyway, my assessment, unfortunately, is using the exact same word you just used. I think it's reasonable for both teams. I don't think anybody got fleeced. I think both teams got value. And I think it's good for both teams. I think the Jet fans most of them are euphoric because, you know, they, as Rodgers said today in the press conference, that one Super Bowl trophy they have is awfully lonely back down there. So it's been a while. They haven't been in the playoffs for 2010, the longest run of any professional sports team of the four major sports. So why wouldn't they be ecstatic? I mean, I think Rodgers could be 46 and they should be ecstatic, you know, to have gotten him compared to what they've had lately. So reasonable is the exact word I've been using, CD. So thanks for stealing my thunder there. Not that that was thunderous, but
I was going to say
reasonable is not a thunderous word, right? I understand.
What an incredible word.
It's very boring. It's a very boring word. I understand.
So I'll go with equally boring synonym and synonym. Yes. Uh-huh. And say it was a very fair market
did you
trade.
Say cinnamon buns? Is that what you just
synonym.
Said?
Synonym.
Oh, I'm hungry now.
Oh my God. But I really do think it's fair. It's a fair market trade. It's what Rodgers was worth. Yeah, you could have gone for two firsts if he was 35 years old. You know, this is the twilight of his career. And I think we got what he's worth right now.
Yeah, and the whole thing that, oh, if you had traded him last year, you could have got the Russell. No, you couldn't. Yeah. He was, you know, he was about to be 39 last year. Russell Wilson was not about to be 39, okay?
And
there's
nobody,
not the same value there.
And nobody is going to get a Russell Wilson trade anymore because of what happened with Russell
with
Wilson.
Russell Wilson trade.
Because it's like, whoa, we sold the farm and got nothing. Nobody is going to.
We all learned our lesson, right?
They are not going to gamble in that way. No team, no how.
You would think.
Yeah, fair mark.
I mean, there's always, you know, ridiculous owner that'll do stupid things, but still. So, yeah, trade is good for both teams. Excellent. Let's move on with our lives.
It is the season of love, people.
The season of love.
And, you know,
let love rule.
It sure seems like there's so much, and forgive me for using the term in any type of way that, you know, is being, you know, loose, but there's some PTSD for Packers fans after 2008. We went through this whole gatekeeping thing past couple of days too. You can't be a Jets fan now. You can't root for Aaron Rodgers. He's not a Packer anymore. He's the enemy. Like, actually, I'm probably going to watch a lot of his games. And I'm not going to be unhappy if he wins. Cause I mean, if he's not beating us, I mean, what the hell? I mean, unlike Kelly, I never hated Aaron Rodgers to begin with. So
hate's a strong word. I think it was fed up is probably a
despised.
Better.
Despised.
Fed right. up. Yeah. I think I'm landing at fed up.
I like despised.
Yeah.
Loathe?
But
no, that's Favre.
You hate somebody. But anyway, the idea that they have actually been as amicable when you could see people were trying to grease the gears of outrage. You know, the Jets fans were taunting us. We were taunting the Jets fans. this was going, and it goes on for months like this.
Well, you can thank Twitter for that.
Absolutely. And yeah. Elon Musk. But but as it turns out, Rodgers sends this beautiful Instagram letter, this beautiful thank you letter. Packers put out this beautiful YouTube video today. There's a unified Packer front. I mean, we don't have this far fans and Packer fans going at each other like we did in 2008. It's okay. Thank you. He even says in his Instagram post, I'll be back. I'm coming back to Green Bay. This is my home. You know, he's coming back for his jersey to be retired. He's coming back for the Hall of Fame. He's coming back for his name in the Ring of Honor.
And he'll probably retire as a Packer.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
He said in that letter,
scenario.
He came of age and grew up in Green Bay. He came here as a kid.
And now he's your stoned uncle, but anyway.
He's your stoned uncle, yeah. But I think it's interesting. You look at this, and it's like people tried to stoke it with the whole, well, I didn't FaceTime with Gutekunst or whatever. But it's like everyone was trying to poke the bear this week. And I think it was an amicable divorce. You know, I liked how things transpired. The adios letter on Instagram obviously wasn't crafted by a publicist. This was something that sounded like Aaron Rodgers. And I'll touch on it later. But there doesn't need to be any animosity at this point. He almost retired. And the reason he decided to come back, it sounds like because they wanted to shop him around. But this doesn't have the vitriol of 2008. Of course, you get like the random dudes on some of the Facebook communities that are Packer groups. So obviously the older demographics like our age. Who's like, Don't go on Facebook if you're a Packer fan. Right. Because and then the litmus test of, oh, you are not a true fan. If you are happy with them going. But like I said, I can trace back how many quarterbacks I can remember since my childhood. And it's time to move on. I think the Packers did it in a classy way. Aaron Rodgers surprisingly did it in a classy way this week. So I think as fans, we should be able to accept that the era is over. We can look back fondly from the Super Bowl in 2011 and the MVPs that he got. But it's okay now to look forward and embrace the new regime.
Okay, folks, that's all we got.
Yeah.
Yep.
She didn't even run out of breath. Okay.
No.
So, on that beautiful note,
let's close the chapter.
We are going to close now. The Aaron Rodgers chapter. The Cheesehead Radio infamous hatred of Aaron Rodgers has come.
The Cheesehead Radio hate is done.
Hello.
It's just the physical emotion of discomfort for the guy.
This is human drama.
Welcome back to the NFL draft. And with the first round pick, Atlanta has selected Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. So Atlanta gets a favor by selecting Brett Favre.
Welcome back to the draft.
Good young players
with the draft ball back.
Year in and year out.
Welcome back to the draft.
Wide receiver, running back.
Tackle, offensive line.
Wide receiver, running back.
Tackle,
quarterback.
It's all on getting into that.
Well, I need a bus.
Tony Mandarich.
Welcome back to the NFL draft. And with the first round,
it's him,
Aaron Rodgers.
Welcome back to the NFL draft.
Okay, we're going to take a look at this here draft. The Packers,
a draft? Oh, I Packers forgot.
Packers have pick 13, pick 42, and pick 45 to make up the first round. What is it, 72? I can't remember. Is there 78? What is it for third round?
I think it's 72.
72. Okay. So four players in the top 72. That's not a bad deal.
No, that's very good.
But I think this season, and I'll just ask you a quick question here, Al, without lengthening the actual question. Is this draft approach different from usual? You know, instead of drafting best player available or even best player available, maybe at one of the positions it needs, how do the Packers approach this draft?
I don't think it's going to make any difference. The Packers, and I think Gutekunst has his way of doing things, and whoever's the quarterback isn't really going to matter to him. He's still going to build that team. He's not going to worry about positional value as much. He's going to look at He's not going to worry about drafting for positional need. He's going to look at value, even if they're already strong in that particular position. That's the way he does things. I don't think he's going to change.
However, we do have some positions. Counterpoint. I think that's going to be his approach. But I think if a true need, and I'll say this, and I've said this before, I'm not convinced David Bakhtiari will play an entire season again. I am be thrilled if he does. But you look at that, it could be a more immediate need than not. So if the right player falls, they may be pragmatic and go for a tackle. Because I think that's going to be a more pressing need, especially if he is missing games.
By the way, CD, the round three is number 78. I just want to correct myself on that.
Well, yes. So running down, I think it's pretty well spoken about, but let's just kind of run through it. Where the needs are. At this point, Josiah DeGara appears to be our only returning tight end. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan are both gone. Safety also appears to be an immediate need, as Adrian Amos is likely not to return for a vet's minimum salary. And Darnell Savage actually is still somewhat of a question mark with his fifth-year option approaching and maybe a lack of production. Those two positions, would you say those are those positions we're looking for starters with the draft?
We need starters at both of those positions. You know, again, Gutekunst doesn't draft to fill positions in that year, but if it lines up correctly, you know, and there's a good player at that position that has value on their board for that spot, he will take them. Those two, without a doubt, are the most bereft of talent, I guess, on the team right now. Tight end, fortunately, this year is a hugely deep class. A lot of people have called it the best tight end class ever. Safety, unfortunately,
very
is one of the worst safety.
There's a paucity of safeties.
Paucity, very good. One of the worst safety classes ever. So we can probably feel comfortable that they will fill some tight end needs, but not so comfortable about safety.
So some other areas that obviously get talked about, and I think is going to your point, Al, that, you know, maybe this isn't the need, but definitely positions that need reinforcement. Certainly we're talking a lot about it on the Twitter, all of our draft podcasts, all of our Cheesehead TV draft analysis. Wide receiver is certainly going to keep coming. It's been coming up every year.
It never will stop.
And this is the one position that makes the Twitterverse riot. Sometimes rightfully so, a lot of times irrationally.
You know, I don't want to see them take a wide receiver with the first pick. But
I kind of do.
Let me finish.
Oh, fine.
But on the other hand, I think it would just be so freaking ironic, and it would just put people over the edge, and I'm here to watch that.
Oh, so you want the chaos of shut up, you idiots. They finally took one.
I want the chaos of, yeah, you didn't do this for Rodgers, but you do it for Love. I just, yeah. I'm sick that one. I need help. I'll check myself in.
Yes. Another position that gets a lot of press right now, of course, is edge rusher.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking
Very strong positional group for edge rusher.
Yep.
Those words came right out of Goody's mouth. First position that he mentioned, edge and tight end. So go ahead.
Yep. And I was just going to say, Rashawn Gary, there's a chance he's still may not even be ready until October.
Right.
That would be closer to a year. So let me interject here. And I say this every time when someone blows out a knee.
Interject.
It's 9 to 12 months. 9 if you're miraculously healing. But this is a bigger guy. It's going to be a year. And look what's happening to Bakhtiari. It's a year plus, and he's still not 100%. So
I think you're right. I think the bigger the player, the harder it is, because the more pressure you're putting on those knees, you know.
Well, it's more torquing force when they're moving, as opposed to a little scrawny cornerback or wide receiver.
Getting into physics here. All right.
I always put defensive tackle on there just because I think you almost have to take a defensive tackle every year somewhere.
Well, they are a little light. I mean, they only have 5 defensive tackles currently on the roster. They normally only go in to the season carrying 5, but but they usually have at least 7 or 8 to choose from, you know, going into camp and everything. So you would think that they'll try to pick somebody up there. I don't think it's a big priority, but, you know, the one thing about defensive tackle, because I did my mock draft for Cheesehead TV, and the one thing I really didn't do was pick a defensive tackle until round 7, and I got excoriated for that. And my explanation for that is, number one, there always seems to be some defensive tackle free agents, you know, inexpensive, that are out there that can be brought in. The Packers have done it several times. I expect them to do it again to get some depth back there. The other thing is, people are kind of forgetting two of the guys on the team. Jonathan Ford, they kept active the entire year, even though he never played. So they must think something of him to do that, to have him on the active roster. And then you have the other Slayton, Chris Slayton with a Y, S-L-A-Y, who absolutely killed it in preseason. And everybody was convinced he would be kept on the roster, you know, over Ford. Excuse me, but he wasn't. So he'll be coming back. So I don't think the depth issue is as big as some people want to make it. But still, they will probably bring somebody in.
I think it's really funny that you get excoriated for picking a defensive tackle late, but right. Every time we take somebody in the first round, it's like the Twitterverse is like, oh, again, really? Can you get a little more uncreative? It's like, would you like your shoelaces tied too late or too tight or too loose? It's like they're never going to be happy.
Yeah.
And obviously there, as you're speaking about with Gutekunst, there are a couple positions that we're probably looking a year in advance that are going to need some help. And first and most primary is probably going to be David Bakhtiari at left tackle. And I think a lot of us are eyeballing some of the premier offensive tackles that we hope may still be available at number 13.
Yeah, left tackle is probably this, I'm going to say, maybe the second most important position on the offense. I mean, I know wide receiver, and, you know, it would be hard to leave wide receiver out of top two, but still.
No, I'd rank offensive tackle above a wide receiver. You don't have a line, you have nothing.
A lot of people will argue wide receiver, but in any case, to me, you know, you would love for Jordan Love to have, double love there. You'd like for Jordan Love to have what Aaron Rodgers had his entire career, or most of his career in Green Bay, which was a all-pro blindside protector. You would love for that to happen. And, you know, the draft isn't always, in fact, it's usually not about this season coming up. It's about subsequent seasons. And I don't think Bakhtiari will be back after this year. I think one way or the other, this is his last season in Green Bay. So I would not be shocked at all if they're thinking ahead that, you know, we need to procure our future left tackle for Jordan Love. And that kind of affects what I like in the draft. But in any case, that's how I feel about the left tackle position.
But I like the idea of a new left tackle and Love developing together to have that chemistry.
Mm-hmm. I think you're also looking, you may disagree, I think running back may be something they need to look at. Aaron Jones's extension has probably guaranteed he's going to be here for a while.
I think at least 2 years, right? I think you can count on him 2 years, but Dylan is coming up, right?
Yep. And he, you know, just like Jamal Williams, I think he's going to garner some nice offers in free agency if that's the way they choose to go with him. So,
right. Yep. So you do need to be looking ahead there.
You always have to be looking ahead. You look at the expiration date, it's 3 to 5 years. Every 3 or so years, you're going to want to be drafting a quality running back.
And I think cornerback has to be another area you look at too. Eric Stokes has been a bit of a question mark. Rasul Douglas had a little bit of a step back. Jair even sort of wasn't quite the same old Jair this year. And there's going to be some contract decisions there as well.
Yeah, he wasn't himself when they let him play the right way later in the season.
That is true.
You know, the issues that he had with giving up a couple of long passes, which every cornerback will do, were mostly in the beginning of the year when, you know, Barry was doing his wonderful stuff back there in the secondary, and before LaFleur stuck his nose in and strongly suggested they change tactics a little bit. Great article in the Cheesehead TV, great draft guide about that, specifically about Joe Barry and adjustments that were made with the Packers defense throughout the course of the year. So if you're interested in that, you could pick up a copy of the Cheesehead TV draft guide. Shameless plug there. But cornerback, you can never have too many cornerbacks, right? That's the going phrase around the NFL. You can never have too many talented cornerbacks. So without a doubt, you're always looking at somebody there.
So other than defensive tackle, that jersey Al isn't going to take until the seventh round. In those first
Shame
four
on
picks,
me. Shame on
in
me.
Those first four picks, we need a tight end, a safety, a wide receiver, an edge rusher, a left tackle to replace Bakhtiari, and probably a running back and a cornerback.
Well, not necessarily in the first four picks, no. Nope.
Well, I think there are a lot of needs. It'll be interesting to see which way they go with that. So let me ask you both a couple questions, just a couple things that are before we get into it. We move from 15 to 13, and obviously this was some sort of negotiation between the Jets and the Packers, but why do you think we've traded up to 13? Is there, there's obviously Jackson Smith, I don't know how to pronounce the rest of Njigba.
Njigba.
This is the guy that so many Packer fans have been salivating.
Well, that's the fan choice.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's so many fans who are saying, oh, we were expecting him to be taken at number 14, and now we're at number 13. This is what Brian Gutekunst had planned all along. Now we're getting wide receiver.
Oh, yes. Sure. Let's, the
fans definitely had it pegged that he was going to be picked at 14, without a doubt. Yes, I believe that.
Right. But I guess that's the question.
Pretty funny.
Do you think the Packers are moving up because there's a player that they are now targeting that they're in better position for? Or do you think this is more capital to trade back with if that's the way they choose to go?
I'm going to go with none of the above. This is just the gamesmanship of a trade. You know, I think it was just the, hey, you're getting Rodgers. We're getting a second round. We want your first round, but he's not good enough to get it in addition. So it was just to have the upper hand in the trade. It's like, okay, and we want to swap our first rounds too.
You know, Kelly stole my thunder.
Oh,
again.
Because I feel the exact same way. I think it was just part of the negotiations. You give me this, I want this. Okay, well, I'll have that. We'll take that. I think it's that's like, what they came up with.
It was like, and I want your hat too, you know? It was
something that was, it was palatable overall to everybody, and that's why they're at 13.
That's the only reason. So it's like, we're not going after any specific player. It was just the, oh, yep. And I want this as well. And it was such small stakes that they were going to give it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the next question I'll ask you is, Brian Gutekunst has a history of trading up or back in a round, sometimes out of a round, sometimes into a round. Do you see something happening with pick number 13 this year, or do you think they stay put? I mean, what are the advantages, disadvantages for both?
Well, I think they stay put, personally. Because I think they'll have a nice choice of players on their board at 13 to pick from. I hope it's one of the guys that I like, but regardless, you know, unless they get blown away with something that doesn't drop them too far. Wouldn't it be ironic if they worked out a trade with the Jets to to drop down to 15 and they get a couple of players from the Jets, like that wide receiver that Packers fans were sure was going to be in the trade, Corey Davis,
Corey Davis, yeah.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be super ironic and cool if something like that happened?
It could.
That just sounds a little too Kevin Costner-y for me.
Yeah, it can't. I just think it would be cool. But my thing would be, I'd be all for a trade back to pick up some other picks, but I don't want to go too far back. I don't want to go out of the team, for sure. And I'd want to stay at least maybe 18 at the most. I don't want to go back further than that. I want a top 20 guaranteed draft pick.
I kind of like where we're at 13. It seems like a decent number in the past couple years. Yep. And like you said, I think there'll be some good choices on the board when they get there. It's not like they're like they'll drop back knowing the choice they want is going to fall. I think they're going to set their sights higher this year and try to get a more blue chip-ish player right off the bat.
Well, I think a lot of it's going to depend, this is just my opinion, on who's still available. And so many times this has happened to the Packers in a draft, even just in the last couple of years, where we see certain players who we're excited about. And, you know, every one of them, remember last year with the four wide receivers, how excited we were about Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson and these guys were like, oh, one of those four will fall to us.
None of them did.
Not a one.
Yeah, there was a run, boy. That's for not sure.
Oh, I wanted Olave so bad. So
yeah, evidently the Packers did too.
Yeah.
It's come out since then that they had him pegged.
Definitely. Yeah, he had a visit with the team too, if I recall. I think he was kind of high on the Packers as well.
Yeah.
So I think as the, you know, there's a couple players that, you know, maybe we feel they're targeting. We don't know what their board is, but we also know that there's tiers not only of just general talent, but there's also tiers for the talent of each individual position. So, you know, if you're in a position where you can get, say, a tight end of equal ability at, as you said, Jersey Al 18, as you could at 13, and that's right, the position you're going to go for, you trade back and get it. So we don't know the magic of where those tiers are for Brian Gutekunst. We maybe know where ours are. We know where our lines are. You know, what players have to be off the board for you personally that you're like, okay, we may as well trade back? I mean, what guys have to be off the board?
Off the board for me. Yep. Okay. Paris Johnson Jr.
Okay.
Miles Murphy. I guess we'll go with the fan favorite, JSN for short.
Sure, wide receiver.
Right. We're sticking at 13, right? And just,
yep.
All right, yeah. Who needs to be off for them to trade? Let me think if anybody else. Maybe, and this would be an oddball one, but one of the cornerbacks, Christian Gonzalez, Joey Porter Jr., they certainly have top 13 value, even if it's not a big need for the Packers. I'm not as high on Peter Skoronski as some players, so as some fans or pundits, so he's not there for me. And everybody else is pretty much sure to be going up in the top 7 or 8, so I'm not even going to bother with the quarterbacks and those type of guys. So that would be it.
And they talk about, you know, who will like possibly but unlikely be there would be Paris Johnson is the one I really want. Well, I think we all, except for CD, agree on that. But I actually like Skoronski. If he was there, I wouldn't trade back.
Oh, you're just sentimental. That's all.
No, I just like,
right?
Okay.
Come on.
Okay, my favorite
admit it.
If people haven't figured this out, my favorite position is the left tackle. So,
but that's all offensive I meant. Line. You're sentimental because of his connection to the Packers.
I guess, you know, yes. Was it his grandpa?
Yes. Yeah,
but, no, I
grandpa was Bart Starr's blindside protector,
which is okay.
And but, by the way, just a quickie if I can interject. Bart Starr, you know, when we had the whole thing with Jerry Kramer being left out and everything, and one of the arguments that people made about against Jerry Kramer being voted in was that Bart Starr never openly endorsed him or said that he belonged, but he did say that about Bob Skoronski. Yeah. Anyway, so that was a little Packer history note there.
You know, you got the fan favorite, you know, Jackson Smith. I can't say his last name.
Njigba. Just the Njigba. Way it's spelled.
Njigba. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Or Tyree Wilson. You know, if these guys are still on the board, why would we trade back? These are needs that need to be filled. And at 13, at least one of our wish list people should still be there. So I don't see the Packers trading back.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's going to take it to the end of the second quarter. So we will take a break as we prep our big predictions, and we'll see you right after this commercial.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field?
Yeah.
If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King.
Oh, yeah.
Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
Just go to their website.
Do it.
TheTicketKing.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Welcome to
All right, welcome back. Cheesehead Radio back for the draft. Jersey Al Bracco, Kelly Hodgson joining me, flanking me on each side.
Oh, I was going to say, we're not flanking you?
Hey, he's using that verb again.
And I am C.D. Angeli, and it is now time for our official prediction contest for bragging rights. And if this season is any indicator of who's going to win,
we're keeping score.
Yes, we are.
So
I'm just cutting them off because I know what
he's going to say. I hate it here.
So for 1 point out of our 6 questions, grand total, maximum point total is 15. So we're going to see as we finish this up how we do. First question is, what positions will the first 4 picks be? Remember, we have 13, 42, 45, and 78 in the first 3 rounds. We'll know this answer by Friday night. Kelly, what do you think?
Oh, go ahead. One thing I can say, actually, this question is worth 4 points.
Oh, because, per correct guess.
Because you get 1 point per correct guess. So anyway. Oh.
Can we up the ante and it's a bonus point if we get it all in right?
No. No, because I like 15 as a nice even total.
Thank you, Alex Trebek. Okay. Kelly, go ahead.
Offensive tackle, edge rusher, wide receiver, and tight end. We're not going to deviate. Let's face it, guys.
Well, I'm deviating.
CD will deviate. He is a deviator.
Yes, he
so.
Does that because he's going to play the odds and try to outpoint us. That's what he does.
He is a deviant, yes, no doubt.
I am quite a deviant. But anyway, I'm going to take offensive tackle off that one. I'm going to assume that both those tackles we're interested in are off the board at 13. I'm going to substitute in safety. I don't think that's going to be a first-round safety. There's a kid from Syracuse that I think the Packers may take a rider on as a second or third round pick. So I will say safety, tight end, edge, and wide receiver.
Okay, well, I can't pick up any points on Kelly because she copied my
I did
four.
Not copy.
You did too. You were last in. Come on, you've been stealing my thunder all show. Come on.
All show long.
And you too. Offensive tackle, edge, tight end, wide receiver. I actually am also, not that you get any points for this, but I think that will be the order.
Oh, all right.
I'm just throwing that in there.
That's the tiebreaker for Al and I, just sure. So you know.
No, good idea.
There you go.
Good idea. No, well, that's right, because you said wide receiver third. Okay.
Question number two.
Number two.
This is a 2-point question. It's just yes or no. Will the Green Bay Packers draft a quarterback? This is not specific to a round. This is anytime between rounds 1 and 7, correct?
Yep, or a particular quarterback either.
Okay.
Are they going to draft a quarterback?
Yes,
Simple, or no.
We can expand and say our thoughts.
Yes, exactly.
It comes
but
down
for the,
to
but
yes
for the points.
No.
The points.
For the points, it's the only points. Yes or no.
Kelly.
I just want to be clear because you're trying to game this already.
Oh, absolutely.
I know.
We have nothing to lose. I want to say yes because we have nothing to lose in a lower round. So there, you know, some not big name, no name dude will be there. I think they'll draft. Yeah. To be a QB3.
So that was a good explanation for yes, right?
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
I said yes first.
Yes, you did. I'm also going to say yes. I'm kind of thinking, I don't know, every mock draft I ever did, Tanner McKee was always sitting there like in the 3rd and 4th round. He seems like a Stanford boy. I think he seems like a pretty good a good talent that might be worth backing up a nice veteran like Jordan Love for 3 years. So I'll say Tanner McKee in the 4th round, yes.
All right. I'm going to, against my better judgment, differ here and say no. The fact that they have 4 7th round picks kind of scares me a little because it would be easy to say, well, let's take a flyer on a quarterback and don't take the chance that we can't get him as a UDFA. But I'm going to say that none of the guys there, they particularly liked enough to put a draft pick on. So they say, you know what? We'll just bring a couple of guys in as undrafted free agents. Maybe we'll look for some low-cost veteran out there. And that's how we'll approach it. So my prediction is no. I'll probably lose this one, but I'm going with it anyway.
All right. So question number 3, will the Packers draft a kicker? 2 points for this one. Yes or no, Kelly?
Absolutely yes.
So you think Mason Crouch is gone?
Yeah.
That's terrible. How can you say that about? Do you hate him?
No.
She's the hater.
That's right.
Apparently, okay, I'll be the villain, yeah. No, I don't hate him. I see them drafting somebody, and there's going to be a good kicking competition. May the best kicker win.
Yeah. Crosby's not coming back. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to say...
He's totally not coming back.
He just trolled you. He just trolled you, Kelly. Yeah.
I know.
That's what I do on my Twitter account. So.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, he's a perpetual troll.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I'm going to say yes, and I'm actually going to name the guy I think it's going to be. I'm going to say Jake Moody out of Michigan. Sixth or seventh round, probably seventh with one of those four picks.
All right. I'm going to say yes. I don't think it'll be Moody because I think someone will pick him off before the seventh round. I don't see the Packers taking a kicker before the seventh round. I think it's going to be the other guy, the guy from Maryland, Chad Ryland, personally. But my answer is yes. I guess I'll throw in the name here, Chad Ryland, for bonus bragging rights, if I'm right.
Yeah, not actual, because no, 15 not actual is really points. Important that we can only have 15 points.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. Question number
my
four.
Game. It's my game. I'll run it the way I want to.
Got it. Will the Packers trade out of the 13th spot? 2 points for this one, yes or no, Kelly? Time to put it in stone.
No, because they're high enough up to get one of their wish list players. And we talked about it earlier. No.
Okay.
And I will say yes. I think there's too much need. And I think the biggest targets they're going to have will fall off the board because that just seems to be the way it is. They're going to be at the front end of that second tier. And they're able to bot back 6, 8, 10, 12 picks in the draft and probably still get second tier talent. So I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Even though I'd like them to, since we're predicting what the Packers are going to do here, I'm going to say no. No further explanation. I don't know what else to say. No, I don't think they're going to do it.
All right.
Stumped myself there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This one is a zero pointer, so I assume this still adds up to 15.
This is just
right?
for fun. Yeah,
got it. Okay, fun. Just making sure. Who would you like their first pick to be? This is not for any points. Kelly.
For the record, I did not steal anyone's idea, but I like Paris. I did not.
Yes,
fight me, Al. Paris Johnson.
Come here.
Paris Johnson. We really, 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 really need a good left tackle moving forward.
CD.
I think I'm going to say Peter Skoronski. I think he's going to slip to 13. I know he's.
I think he'll be there.
You do, really?
Yeah.
I've not seen many mocks that have him making it even to 10.
I have.
He's a little shorter armed.
The thing is, he's a guard. That's why
he's
going to slip. He's really
going to
end up being the guard.
But I think he's still worth a pick. I don't have an issue with Paris Johnson, so I just don't think he'll be available. But
What would you like? This isn't who will be available.
I'm going to say Peter Skoronski.
Okay, just to be clear, right, this is who would you like?
Yeah.
It's definitely Paris Johnson for me. It has been ever since I did my tackles research for the Cheez-It TV draft guide. I think he is the future all-pro in the group.
Nice. You talked me into it. All right. And finally, our last question. This one actually has points. It's a five-pointer. Five-point question. The biggest one, it's one-third of the total points of the 15 mandatory points we're allowed to get. Who will the Green Bay Packers draft with their first pick? Kelly, we'll start with you.
I want Johnson, but I have a feeling Skoronski's going to fall, and they can't pass him up. They'll take him.
Okay. That feels like it's an answer to the last question, but that's okay.
I said I want Johnson, but we're going to end up with Skoronski. That's not the answer to the last question.
Oh, okay. A girl can dream. Got it.
A girl can totally dream.
Yes. Since I've predicted the trade back, I'm going to presume that both the tackles are gone. I'm going to assume that JSN will also be off the board. So they will trade back, and they are going to get a guy who I think is about as Packer people as you're going to get, and that's Michael Mayer. The tight end, they're going to get him somewhere in the 20s. So,
can I advise you something here as the game master?
Sure.
You have made this very difficult on yourself because you have to get multiple things right here. You have to, A, the
who
Packers
cares?
Have
let,
to train.
Let them gamble. Let them gamble.
B, they have to pick Michael Mayer. And three, in the 20s. So there's three things you have to get right here. So you've made it very hard on yourself.
Actually, I don't think so. It just says
I do.
Who.
I, no. It's my game.
Who will the Packers draft?
I am here for that.
It's my game.
The only thing that matters is Michael Mayer.
Okay, well, then we're going to ignore all the rest of it. Then.
Yes, I'm allowed
to elaborate. Let him explode.
Okay. I'm allowed to elaborate.
Well,
but...
see, but you should have just put in Michael Mayer and then elaborate after that.
Oh.
The way you
Michael
wrote
Mayer.
It, it sounds like that's your full thing.
Okay.
All right, I'm clear on it.
Thank you, Alex Trebek.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And me, I know I'm up. Give me a chance. Me, I am going to try to will it in the worst possible way. And I'm going to hope that something happens and Paris Johnson Jr. is the player.
Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please. Oh, please.
And yeah. since we just verified with CD's pick that it doesn't matter if it's via trade or not, who knows? The Packers might trade up to get Paris Johnson
it's
Jr.
It's possible.
Right. So anyway, he's my answer.
Right.
I'm trying to will it.
So we've got a couple differences there. Obviously, a little bit in the first question on the first four pick positions. We got a difference in the quarterback for Al. No difference for the kicker. So that's kind of a, we either all get 2 points or we don't.
Yep.
We got a difference with me for trading out of the 13th spot. And then obviously we all picked a different player for the Packers first draft pick. So,
which is the 5 point question. So
it is.
Yeah. If someone's right there, they're ahead of the game here.
It would be crazy if one of the two of you were actually to finish first in some sort of a prediction contest. So this
and
is
if I do, I will gloat all year over it.
Yeah, but I can edit it all out later.
I'd say forever and ever, not just all year.
Forever.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll finish off the third quarter. And we're going to finish the show as we do in our fourth quarter with our Hot Pockets. All right, our Hot Pockets, this is where it's our last chance to stand and deliver and tell you whatever's going on inside our brains. Jersey Al, we'll start with you.
Well, regardless of which side of the debate you are on, if your first priority is rooting for the Green Bay Packers, the team, you probably breathed a sigh of relief when word broke of the Rodgers trade getting completed. Personally, I was in favor of the trade for two reasons. One, that I was just weary of all the off-field Rodgers drama the last few years. The second and primary reason was the Packers failing to at least advance to the Super Bowl the last 4 years under Rodgers. Two of the years they lost in the playoffs on their home field, and last season were knocked out of the playoffs. Were knocked out of getting into the playoffs on their home field by the lowly Detroit Lions. Quite an embarrassment. I didn't see things getting better. So for me, it was just time for a new beginning, and whatever that may bring, I'll just be fine with it. And that is my Hot
Pockets. All right, let's just be honest. Packers Twitter is never going to be wholly stable. It's the reason why guys like Mike Florio and Skip Bayless still have jobs. They know they're always going to get a strong and slightly irrational reaction from Packers fans. It is how we're built. But nowhere has this been on display more than the ongoing negotiations Packers Twitter has had with Jets Twitter over the value of Aaron Rodgers over the last 2 months and who exactly had more leverage in the situation. I have watched Packers fans die, become reborn, and die again. More times than I can count over the last few months, taking every unverified Elon Musk blue check troll account report and believing it totally that the Packers are either now getting 7 first round picks or just a case of Bush Light in return. The good news is that none of our arguing, negotiating on Twitter had any actual real effect in real life. Oh. The GMs
shocker
were negotiating all along and they got the exact deal we were going to end up with all along. And as we said earlier in the show, it really was a win-win, I believe, for both teams. But the most important news is that Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers had the most amicable parting we can imagine. And these irrational, emotional Packer fans, for the first time in a long time, are rather unified in their love for love. and a new era in Green Bay. After 2008 and Brett Favre, who'd have ever thunk that had happened? And that is my Hot
Pockets. So let me see if I can get through this because the guys have booby-trapped my comments. So what? Here we go. The long national nightmare is finally over. And at this point, I have a sense of calm, even though I've been labeled a hater. I wanted to be angry and enjoy the shot before I'm going out the door this week. But I really liked his farewell to the team today and to the staff. For a guy that comes across as an arrogant ass, he really took the time to thank the little guys. Whether it was the unsung heroes in the equipment room or the training and medical staff, this is where they sabotaged me and I'm trying to read what I wrote. He really took the time to thank them, the guys that you don't see every day that made him look good. And he looked genuinely happy when he walked into Jets land today. And that reminded me of the Rodgers I used to like and admire. And he's still there. So thanks for everything, Aaron. I'm genuinely happy for him. I'm happy for the Packers. He's not our problem anymore. If there's drama, I don't have to worry about it. I don't even have to think about it. So best of luck in New York. And meanwhile, it's a season of love in Green Bay. And that's going to be awesome. And that is my Hot
Pockets. Man, he called him an arrogant ass.
Right. Boy, she still has feelings.
No,
It's kind of hate.
They are totally setting me up to be the villain again.
And earlier in one of her other answers, she used the word surprisingly before saying that he was, eloquent or whatever the word was, surprisingly as the adjective. That's another indicator right there.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you guys are totally impersonating neckbeard 76532. On Twitter, whatever they're saying, you guys are such haters. No, I'm happy for it. I'm happy for the Packers, and I didn't have to deal with it either. So I'm happy for everybody.
I was going to suggest that Cheesehead Radio's new byline would be no longer the Rodgers haters, but I don't know that we can do that anymore.
I am no longer the Rodgers haters. You know what? I'm happy for them. It'll be interesting.
Radio, no longer the Rodgers haters. I like the sound of that.
That works.
Two thirds.
No longer the Rodgers haters.
Three fifths.
With Aaron Rodgers.
Or two-thirds. No longer the Rodgers haters, parentheses, except for Kelly.
Except for
And Heesh, our substitute Potter. I hadn't talked to him in a few months. All of a sudden I get a text. He's like, thank God it's over, was what the text I got. Nope, it was. I think it was the darkness retreat. I got a text. He's like, oh my God, I'm so done.
Heesh went on a darkness retreat?
No.
Oh.
God, putting words in my mouth.
Good job.
Thank you so much for joining us on Cheesehead Radio as we head into our 14th season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can listen to several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your pods. If you like the pod, show us some love and leave us a review. You can also find us on Siri, Alexa, or Google just by saying, play Packers Talk Podcast. Finally, be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King, for all your ticket needs. You can find them across the street from Lambeau Field or on the web at theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. Hey guys, it's draft week. Go pack up.
NFL draft coming to your TVs tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Or tonight. I guess this publishes on Thursday. Yeah.